So today we are keeping the memoria of St. Maria Goretti. St. Maria Goretti, I'm sure many of you will have heard of, some of you won't have heard of her. She's one of the youngest saints ever to be canonized in the history of the church. She died at just the age of 11. She lived between the age between the year 1890 and 1902. And as I say, died incredibly young, just 11 years old. Now, the circumstances of her death are horrific. There was a neighboring young male youth who repeatedly made sexual advances towards her. And we might think, you know, she's 11. That's incredibly young for sexual advances. And as we know, you can mature at different ages. She was certainly old enough to be desirable, old enough to know what was right and wrong. So she resisted the advances. She said to the young man, Alessandro, "No, it is a sin. God does not want it." She physically resisted him, and in response, he stabbed her 14 times. She was taken to hospital. She didn't recover. But before she died in hospital, she told her family that she forgave Alessandro, that they knew this young man, that she said she forgave him. She even, as she was dying, said she wanted him to join her one day in heaven. An incredible act of love, of forgiveness. The man Alessandro then spent 26 years in prison for his crime. While he was there, he repented of his sin. He realized the evil of what he had done. He asked St. Maria Goretti's mother to forgive him for what he had done. And in one of the kind of most poignant twists in the life of a saint possible, he was present in St. Peter's Square when the Pope declared her a saint, when he canonized her. So not only was he alive to see that happen, but he had turned his life around. He had repented of the evil he had done. And the very one who had martyred her was present when she was declared a saint. I don't think there's any occasion in the history of the church where such a circumstance has happened before. And she's held out as a martyr because she died for the faith, for the living of the faith, for the living of chastity, and that he attacked her in hatred of that. Two things I would suggest to you that we can learn especially from her life. First, the desire, the heartfelt desire to not sin. Very interesting the words she said. "No, it is a sin. God does not want it." If we think in our own hearts, what do I want in life? Well, I want a muffin. I want a brownie. Is the desire, the burning desire to not sin, is that what characterizes me? Is what characterized her? That when she was under assault, she didn't say, "I don't want this." She said, "He doesn't want this. No, it is a sin. God does not want it." That above all, in our lives too, we should want what is pleasing to God. We should want what God wants. Second, and maybe even more obviously, she stands as a witness to the value of bodily purity. That our bodies are something to be kept pure. Now, because of the violence, I want to make a comparison here in terms of how our faith values how values life and values your body. So if somebody attacks your life, you may defend yourself with lethal force, our Christian faith tells us. But if somebody attacks your chastity, you may likewise defend yourself with lethal force. That your chastity is so important that you may defend yourself even that much. That the Christian faith says that our bodies matter, our sexual integrity matters. This puts us at odds with the world around us today, where so many people think, well, what you do with your body doesn't matter. Well, that's what people said into the world that Christianity came, but the Jews of old and the Christians who followed them held a very different view of the body. We said the body matters. So we say this on one hand because we hold that the body will rise again on the last day. We won't just be spirits in heaven. We will have bodies, resurrected bodies. Our bodies matter. Scripture tells us also that your body matters because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell, especially on earth? In our hearts, in you, in your body. Your body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And so you should therefore keep your spirit pure, keep your spirit a worthy dwelling place for this Holy Spirit to dwell within you. What we do with our bodies affects us. What we do with our bodies matters. If I soil my body in sexual sin, I soil my soul. If I keep my body pure sexually, I keep my soul pure too. Our first reading today from St. Paul to the Corinthians is chosen very specially for St. Maria Goretti in the light of holy purity. And it gives three different rationales for purity. It says, the body is not meant for immorality. The body is meant for the Lord. What is my body for? It's meant for him. It came from him. It's a gift from him. It's meant for the Lord. My body is joined to Christ. You know, we say in the scriptures that we are part of the body of Christ. My body is a part of Christ, and therefore I should keep my body pure because I belong to him. And then the third reason, I already said that my body is the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So I should keep it pure that he might have a pure place to dwell. A last thought. What do we mean when we talk about purity? So often, you know, when we talk about purity, sins against purity, we mean sex, we mean chastity. Why purity as the word for that? Well, purity, what does it mean? It means to be completely focused, to be pure, to be purely focused on the Lord. That my mind is thinking of him. My heart is loving him. My body is in the service of him. And that all I do, I engage with as it relates me to him. That purity of focus, uniting all my activity, my thoughts, my loves to him. And sexual immorality is so problematic because the excitement of it diverts us from that purity of focus. Diverts us so much that the tradition uses this catch-all to refer, when we talk about unchastity, to refer to it as impurity. It so easily diverts me away from that pure focus on the Lord. Are you called to be married? Well, your married love, your bodily love, should be leading you to him. Are you called to be celibate? Likewise, your dedication should lead you to him. But if we engage in things of the flesh impurely, our purity shatters. So in summary, what does St. Maria Theresa teach us? Well, she teaches us to value God more than we value life, to be willing to die rather than to sin, to value pleasing God more than enjoying worldly pleasures, because my life is meant for God, my body is meant for God, my genuine fulfillment is only going to be in him. So let's ask St. Maria Goretti for the grace to desire to die rather than to sin.